Welcome to Intuitive Art Sales. This is the show where I, Jessica Craddock, am going to teach you how to source your art marketing from within. You're going to practice claiming that authentic art business that you want and leading it to the most natural way for you to get there. You're going to learn to get connected to your intuition, your confidence, and your community so that you can sell your art consistently while holding strong boundaries on your work-life balance. Welcome back to Intuitive Art Sales. I'm here with Denise Lafer, who I met in a wonderful community called Harvest that's run by another of my friends and clients. And she was in my small group. So we got to spend, I think it was 10 or 12 weeks together just talking about art and making and selling and all the fun things. So I thought it'd be nice to invite her and catch up and see what she's been working on, see how I can help a little bit. So Thank you.
Thanks
for being here.
Happy to be here.
Great. And we decided, pre-recording, we are going to have an organic conversation and see where it goes. So tell me a little bit about what's been going on, let's say, for the last 4 months. What have you been up to? What have you been thinking about? Where do we want to go? Where are we stuck, having problems? Any of the above? Just tell me what's up.
So we did have a conversation, probably. We were trying to figure this out before the recording too, maybe about 4 to 6 months ago. And, you know, as many people trying to juggle a bunch of things, right? You know, I work a traditional full-time job, raising two small children, and then also wanting to really branch out and make this art of mine something special. And by that, I just mean kind of having time to either do it, you know, create or get it out in front of people. And that's kind of where I'm at right now and where I do struggle a bit, because finding time to get out there can sometimes be difficult because it matters. But so do the other things. And sometimes, raising children is always going to come first. And then, you know, you have to take your full-time job very seriously. So I'm kind of all ears to what people that maybe have gone down this road before have had work for them or maybe not work, and having those conversations. And obviously I came across yourself and you have this wealth of knowledge, and it's just great to have these conversations, right?
Sure. Yeah. So I'm glad you're here.
Yeah.
Tell me, let's start with, what are we currently doing to put ourselves out there in between all of these other important obligations?
Well, one thing I did learn from you, from our small group, was you don't always have to think on like the gigantic scale, right? Like there's small things that you can do that can still lead you to where that ultimate goal is. So I kind of approached it that way, and things that wouldn't be as intimidating to my day-to-day life, I guess, if you will. So I started teaching workshops locally. One was at like a local nursery, one's at a collective that's near where I live now. Then I've also joined like Instagram Lives, which seems and I have found a wonderful community. I've been sharing the information, you know, on socials, and it's just been really great groups of people that are people like myself that are just starting out, to people that have, you know, a great following. It's a lot of different types of artists, you know, different types of creatives, but you're still getting your name out there, still making connections, and of course, like learning what works for you and what doesn't.
Yeah. So what is the theme, I guess would be the word, behind these lives? You mentioned that there's a lot of artists who join. So what are we talking about in those?
So the first one I did actually was, there's a lot of vintage shops on Instagram that sell like vintage frames. And that's how I actually came in, because I pair a lot of vintage frames with my abstract art, you know, kind of like the old with the new, if you will. And then from that, got relationships with the sellers and then was invited to participate in one. So it was like a combination of both of our shops. And then from that, I did one where a vintage owner actually asked a bunch of artists that she had connections with to join. And that one was about 2 weeks ago, I want to say. Sometimes it's just people to get together to show off what they are featuring on their pages.
Okay, so they're mostly based around these vintage frames at the moment.
Is it?
Yes. Okay, awesome. You also said workshops. Workshops, yes. Where you teach art making.
So the first one, with abstract, it has to come from you because otherwise it's not going to work. It's not really as simple as like a paint by number for most people, I should say. So I always say, like, create what you want. But sometimes people need a little bit more guidance than that. So I just did my second one and I offered you can either follow along step by step with me. You can kind of follow along where like you use it as a general idea or just do whatever you want. And it was kind of incredible because everyone started the same. And by the end, they all looked completely different. So they used a little bit of guidance to get started because that's sometimes right. What we all need. Like you just want to start it. And then from there, you can just let your creativity go. And that's what essentially happened. So the workshop is mostly them applying the paint to their canvas and making it what they want. But then I also am talking a little bit about, you know, different theories, composition, just different things that I've tried mark making and acrylic versus oil, stuff like that, that while, you know, we're literally waiting for paint to dry, you can still talk about things instead of just sitting there.
So it sounds like most of the marketing you're currently doing is for other creatives or other artists, which is not a bad thing. As long as we know where we're going and we're going there on purpose.
Right.
So switching gears slightly, what is your biggest goal or motivation behind your art business? Is it adding an extra income? Is it having a bigger community around you so that you don't feel alone in your art making? Is it getting my art out there? Like, where's your motivation and where are we trying to get?
So I think it's a little bit of a few of those things.
Okay.
Obviously, you know, if I'm being fully transparent, of course, a little bit of extra income would be delightful.
Sure.
But if that was my only motivation, I think I would be wrong in doing what I'm doing. I love being creative. And while, like, say the workshops are really me only going to other artists or something of that nature, yes, I would like to get my art in front of people, creating a community. I had a student at a workshop that was like, I came because my niece really wanted me to. I'm not an artist. I don't really know what I'm doing. And I was like, let's see how you feel at the end. Just have fun. Don't have any expectations of yourself. And she created, of course, a beautiful piece and she felt really good about it. And that was something that was very rewarding to me. That's not about me. That's about her and her experience. But it was still nice to be around that and help her to maybe get to where she felt good about something. Yes, I would like to get my art in front of maybe galleries or potential collectors. But everyone has to start somewhere, right? The same lady that I spoke to asked for one of my, like, you know, I gave a little card with my information and she wanted to take it with her. Now, potentially she might reach out to me for a piece of work or she might want to do another workshop or something, but that's still building my business. It may not be the exact way I thought it would be, but it's still something.
And there's nothing wrong with experimenting to find out where we want to go, as long as we're going somewhere purposefully. Your main motivations are fourfold almost: income, community, having the ability to make your own art, helping other people be creative. What you are doing now with these workshops fulfills all of those. How do you like them?
I was petrified with the first one. And then after it was like, okay, I think I could have done so much better. I would have loved to have changed, you know, so many things. But then I was like, but it was my first one. So give myself a little bit of a break. And then by the next one I did it with that specific place, I took everything I learned from the first one and made some changes. And I thought that the second one went much better. Could I continue to learn and grow? Sure. But it seemed like people were having a good time. They were happy with what they created. And at the end of the day, that's really all that matters, you know? So, it is a little bit of extra income. So it's like I get to have fun and make a little bit of money. And who's going to be unhappy with that? Actually, after the second one, was really excited because I was like, okay, I took what I learned, applied it, it actually worked. And now I feel much more confident in doing other workshops, other places, or even whatever the opportunity might be, I might not be as scared to try it.
Yeah. Okay. I'm asking a lot of questions here. I'm trying to figure out some pieces and parts. Based on the income you made from that workshop, if you could repeat that every month, you said, I'd like a little extra income, but it's not my main motivation, but I would like to bring in some money. Would that fulfill that need, or does it need to be bigger?
So as it's going right now, this is just like, you know, I say, oh, I'll put it into my savings, or we'll apply it to something for the family or whatever the case is. It would not be enough to take away my full-time job or anything like that. But if I'm being honest, again, like, that would be my ultimate end goal, is to be able to be an artist full-time and okay. not have to worry about, I mean, I think everybody thinks about this, whatever they're passionate about. As I mentioned, I have two small kids. Creating allows me to be around them. They can be in their playroom while I'm putting something on a canvas. And that would be my ultimate dream. Will that ever happen? I'm not really sure.
Whether or not you believe it will happen, that is where you need to aim.
Yes.
So I'm going to make up a number here. Let's say you make $50,000 a year in your job. So we need to, while you said money isn't the main motivation and I don't want to do it for the money because I believe that would be wrong, in order to build a bigger community, make more art, be around your kids more often, help people be more creative, that money is what allows you to do those things. So then the goal is $50,000 a year. Let's use that as our number. So if that's the new goal, instead of $500 for a workshop 12 times a year, which is $6,000, we got to think a lot bigger than that. Mm-hmm. And that's, like you said at the beginning here, thinking bigger doesn't necessarily mean we have to completely overwhelm ourselves with all of these bigger things, but how can we think smarter to get to that? So if we were saying, all right, Denise, you need to, in the next 6 months, make $25,000, what would you do?
That's where I get a little bit intimidated, nervous, all of those things, because I'm not exactly sure, if I'm being honest. I have all these ideas in my head, but a lot of times, like, rejection and, you know, am I good enough? Who am I? You know, like, I'm a self-taught artist. I don't have, you know, my fine arts degree. There's things that I feel like are some obstacles or hurdles for me to overcome or, you know, figure out before I can say, oh, I can do this, this, and this. Because I know, you know, if you got in front of galleries, if you get in front of collectors, if you do calls for art and your work is successful, obviously website, Etsy, you know, like, there's so many ways. But I feel like for every compliment or, oh, your work is so great, I get five that is like, that's a great hobby. So it's like, just when I feel like I'm getting some momentum, sometimes I feel like I'm trying to run against the tide or something. So that's kind of where I need to somewhat block it out and figure out what's best for me and focus on my work and how I can be better at that and be better at the business side. But I'm struggling with it, you know.
Yeah,
completely.
So there's two forks in this road. One is, what is the best path for me? And one is finding the inner strength to go after that path.
Or, because it's not just about me anymore either. You know, if I was single and I had rejections or I had setbacks, well, then it only affects me. But now I have a family and a home and, you know, responsibility, obviously, that many, many people do. But I think that's what holds us back a little bit, because it's like, well, if I take this huge leap and it doesn't work out, what could happen? And I know the flip side of that is, well, if I take this huge leap, what could happen? And it could be something great. but you just never know until you get there. And that fear definitely shows its ugly face.
Right. So what about option three, which is don't take leap or not take leap, but act as if we are taking the leap by said deadline, continue the job, but with the idea in mind that if I can hit this goal by the end of September, I'm going to quit my job.
And I would absolutely do that. Here's the question I pose to you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're someone like myself who is just starting out and has all of these ideas, but how do I get my name out there without overinvesting in myself before it's really ready that time? Does that make sense? Like, you know, you need a website, you know, you need marketing, you need a brand, you need to put yourself out there. But a lot of that does take some investment. And if you are afraid to do that because there may not be that return, how do you get past that? Or how do you work?
That wouldn't be the place that I would start. I'll put it that way.
Okay.
Marketing. I mean, some form of marketing, yes. But branding, website, all of these things that you feel that you need to invest in order to put yourself in a position to start selling more. In my mind, on the timeline, those are later. They're when I am selling, then I invest in website, branding, etc. So then the question becomes, how do I sell now without those things? Because that's what I've been told I need in order to sell.
Right.
Okay.
And here's the question that I battle with myself, because I'll never stop creating because I enjoy it just for myself. So whether I do hit my end goal of being able to quit my job and do art all of the time, full time, that doesn't matter. I would still paint. But if I'm not selling, do I still put that same timeline of 6 months and say, if I don't sell anything within 6 months, is that my answer then too?
No.
Because I wonder if people ask themselves that and say, like, am I being realistic here? If no one is buying, then am I getting the answer that I've been looking for all along? Or do I keep trying?
I don't believe that that is ever the answer, because there is a reason why you're going toward the thing. The timeline might change.
Okay.
The goals you have might change. We don't know what's going to happen in 6 months. It's a lot of pressure to put on yourself to say, I have to make $25,000 in the next 6 months when I don't know how to sell things.
Right.
However, I'm not picking that number out of a hat for no reason. I'm picking it because that number is so big that it's almost unbelievable for you. Which means I have to think outside the box instead of, well, if I follow the timeline everyone's told me that I have to do, which is create a brand, make a website, blah, blah, there's no possible way for you to hit that goal. It's just not going to happen.
Right.
I don't know that we're going to get to the answer today of what is outside the box for you, but let's start with the idea of workshops, because it's something that you're really enjoying. It's something that doesn't necessarily take up all of your time. It takes some time. It doesn't require you to have a website or a large email list or a huge following. It's something you've already started to gain more confidence in. You already pushed yourself to do it.
Listen.
So what if, when thinking outside the box, giving yourself parameters to think within is extremely helpful. If you just think, well, I have to go make lots of money, ready, go, how am I going to do it? That's no thank you. But if I have to make $25,000 in the next 6 months by hosting workshops, it becomes a little bit easier to think outside the box. Does that feel true to you, or is that just true in my head?
No, I definitely think that there is something to it. I think it's nice to kind of have that, even if it is a ridiculous number, even if it would never come true, it's kind of a nice thing to say, that could be something one day. You can still try to work towards something, even if it may not happen right now. Like, yes, 6 months would be great, but will it happen? Probably not. But wouldn't that be great if it did? Or what if it took 9 months? Or what if it took a year or whatever the case is? I'm not going to say, oh, well, I just made 25 grand, but it wasn't within 6 months, so it doesn't count. You know, like that's not right. So, and also, like, I think you just said something too, like my confidence, because art is so subjective that I can look at something and love it and think it's one of the best things I've ever created. And it's like, you know, social media is, you think you're putting something out and like you get nothing. And then I'll post something out that I'm like, maybe it'll do well. And then that does surprisingly well. So my confidence has kind of wavered in, you know, knowing what people are looking for or whatever. And then I realized like I have to create for myself initially. And then I think the other things will build eventually. But the confidence piece, though, has helped me so much because it also has allowed me to like apply for call for art, like different galleries have, where before I would say, I'm not ready for that. And it's like, you know, if I do it, great. If not, what's the big deal?
One of my favorite things about fear is the thing that you are afraid of, in this case, open call for art, if I get rejected. That's the fear, right?
Yep.
If you don't do the thing you're afraid of, you guarantee the fear will come true, which is you will not be in the show.
There's zero chance.
Zero chance.
You know.
Whereas, I don't know, let's go 50-50. You have a 50% chance if you face that fear of conquering it, gaining a little bit more confidence to do it again. If it doesn't happen, okay, it didn't happen. But it wouldn't have happened if I hadn't done it either. So at least right. I tried and I got more prepared for the next time that I do it.
Right.
Hey there, lovely listeners of Intuitive Art Sales. It's Jessica Craddock, your guide to navigating the exciting world of marketing from an authentic place. I have a special request for you. I have shared tips and insights and stories on how to connect with your intuition, boost your confidence, nurture your community, and maintain those all-important boundaries to create a fulfilling work-life balance. And the amount of support you have shown me is incredible, and your feedback is invaluable. So here's the ask. Would you please take just a few moments to leave a rating and a review for Intuitive Art Sales? You can share your thoughts, your breakthroughs, or simply why you love tuning in. It is this little small action that can have a big impact on artists worldwide, just like you. And I also want to say thank you for being a part of this family and for helping me find others who need help on their creative path. Your unique voice matters, and together we're making the world a more inspired and vibrant place. So with so much gratitude, thank you for rating and reviewing us on your favorite podcast platform. It means the world to me. Okay, so back to the workshops. Is it improper to ask you, or is it uncomfortable for you to share, how much did you make from your last workshop?
It was a total of $330.
$330. Okay, so that means each person paid what?
So it was $55 per person, and okay. Then the that held it takes 25%, and to me that was fine. So there were 8 people that showed up. I think there was only a max of either 10 or 12 that could sign up. So I thought 8 was a pretty good turnout. First one only had 4, and then the second one had 8. So I thought that was kind of promising too.
Was it with the same place? Did you have repeat people?
No, they actually did ask that, and it was not repeat people. But the first one, in all honesty, was during a blizzard in like January. So it was a little tricky with that one. This one was all new students, but there was quite a bit of like, you know, how often do you do these? Are you doing another one? So that leads me to hope that they might come back for another.
Okay. So new question. How do you feel about, one, continuing to host with a venue such as this and maybe finding some more? And how do you feel about hosting your own? Are both possible?
I kind of like having it at a venue because they have tables, they have chairs, they have the actual like building for it to be held in. When you think about it on a base level, maybe I could do that, but you know, you need like insurance and you need like different things because if somebody,
do you need insurance for workshops?
I am not sure because if somebody was to get hurt or something, like, I don't know if you want to get into that, but
I don't know the answer, so we're not going to go there, but that's something to think about. But where my brain went is continuing to host workshops at places like this, where mm-hmm. you gain a workshop audience and then sell them into your own series of workshops. So like it could be a 6-month or a 12-month commitment where every month we build on it or we do a new thing, or like you get to know the people, you get art time together, and you could even offer those at a slight discount since the 25% isn't coming out, where essentially the venue is your feeder to your recommitment workshops. So it might be that you would need somewhere that would be willing to host those for you. But yep. That's where we're thinking outside the box here, and some problem solving always comes along with that. But let's just run some numbers real quick. Let's say, what is 25% of 55? 55 times 0.75, $40. So $41.25. Let's call it 40. So let's say at $40 a pop, you would need to host
so many.
$50,000, a lot, divided by 40, would be 1,250 participants in a workshop.
Okay.
Now, that doesn't include the fact that some of those could be repeat.
Right.
So if you had 8 people at your last one, the easiest way to sell is to sell to people who have already bought from you.
When I do these workshops, would you recommend like having almost like an email sign up, have like somebody sign up at when they join my workshop so that I can reach back out to them?
Yes, if they're like, I just want to stay in your orbit. No, if they're asking when's the next one, you just sign them up for the next one.
Okay.
So if it's 1,250 participants, and let's say for each venue place, you get 8 people and 5 of those want to continue, and you do a 6-month commitment. So you have then 30 of those 1,250 plus the 8 that you just hosted. So then that becomes 38 of your 1,250. You do that 32 times, you hit 25,000 I think I did 50,000.
You did Hold do up. 50.
I did. So 1,250 divided by 2 is 625. So then our 38 people from one workshop, or 38 participations from one workshop, 625 divided by 38 means we have to host 16 workshops mm-hmm. with those numbers to hit $25,000. Right. 16 workshops plus the monthly one that you're yeah. putting people into. That doesn't feel so undoable then.
Right. What is your way to bit that, I guess, because everybody has an email list right now, right? And that seems to be the way to keep people up on all of the things that you're doing. This might sound like a very stupid question, but can you have an email list without having a website?
Yeah. So the way that that works is you have people, most email platforms will have some sort of landing page built in. You may have to set it up, but where you could send people to sign up for your email list on their own. You can also manually enter email addresses as long as you have some sort of documentation that they wanted to be entered. The chances of someone suing you because you put them on your email list is very slim. But if we're, protecting ourselves, Having that piece of paper where they wrote down their email or that Instagram DM where they sent you their email address saying they wanted to sign up is helpful. So no, you do not have to have a website.
Good.
You could have, this is my compromise with people who are like, I just have to have a website. And I'm like, but you're not ready for a website. Is have a one-page website. I'm Denise. Here's a paragraph about me. Here's what my work is about. Here's some images. Sign up for my website. That kind of thing.
Gotcha. I have no problem waiting until it's appropriate. Yeah. I just, you know, like everywhere you go, people are like, what's your website? And it's like, well, I'm just trying to get out there first. Can I use myself? Can you check my stuff out? Because.
Send them to your Instagram.
That's what I usually try to do.
This is my current portfolio. This is where it's the easiest to contact me. This is where you can stay in my orbit until I have more.
Right. That's a perfect way to put it. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So that being said, what's your next steps?
Well, I want to figure out, I really like this idea of the workshops of like the 1, 3, 6, whatever it is, months commitment and gaining more of a community, more of a following that way. And I really do want to kind of set up some way to put together like some sort of newsletter, gather people's emails to keep up on what I think I can manage that. Because let's be honest, I have all of these ideas, but if you cannot put them into action in what your real life is, it doesn't matter.
Has no impact. Yeah.
Right. And sometimes I sit there and go, oh, I need to do this. I need to do that. And like could have like 15 things and then don't do any of them because I don't know where to start.
So you said, I like the idea of the recurring workshops. So finding a way to make that happen, whether it's asking different venues, whether it's that you're already working with, whether it's going to a church building and being like, hey, can I rent one of your rooms? Like something along those lines. Where could that happen? How could that happen? Because that's kind of integral to the work you're doing, turning into more money instead of just the one workshop. 2 is setting up an email list, which quite honestly, you could do after this call and be done with it by the end of the day. And by the end of the day, I mean like 30 minutes. It's not that hard to set up.
Okay.
The biggest thing you're probably going to run into is, well, which one do I want to use? If you want to pay for it, I've been asking around with other artists. I know what I like, but I'm asking artists what they like. The consensus has been, if you want to pay for it, use Flowdesk because it's really intuitive and pretty. If you want to keep it free for a while but still have a pretty good platform, use MailerLite.
What is it called?
MailerLite.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So that's done. Now you just got to go get an account, figure out your recurring venue. And then I would say, if I'm picking your action steps, step 3 is asking more places or asking the place you have to host more workshops. Can I host more workshops with you for the 25% fee? And if they say, well, we're booked, start asking other people. Here's what I've been doing for this other place. They take 25% for having the tables and the chairs. I don't know if they brought the people or if you brought the people, but here's how it worked with them. Is that something that you're interested in?
Yes. And it's funny you say that because I literally was looking last night at somewhere at a different location and thinking, I think I could reach out to them. And I like what you just said, though, because I was like, how do I like open that dialogue? And I can say now, I've already been doing workshops at this place. This is what they take. Are you interested in something similar?
Yeah. So think of those as features. Those are the logistics. Also think about benefits. What are the benefits to them hosting your workshop besides getting the 25%? Maybe it's I will co-promote it, which will bring more eyeballs to your business. Maybe it'll create let's say it's a floral shop. I don't know. We can do a workshop around some of the flowers that you have in your shop so that people can really see the beauty in them and we'll paint the feelings behind them. And I'll give you my creation. What are the benefits of them hosting it? So it's an easy yes for them. I'm going to challenge you, though. The recurring venue is going to be a challenge, but it's not a challenge outside your comfort zone. It's just a how do I figure out this problem challenge. Email list, check. More workshop venues. That's where you have to step outside your comfort zone a little bit and start asking people for their right. space. So some are going to say yes and some are going to say no. If 16 is our goal, I'm going to challenge you. This is going to be hard. I don't want to make it too hard. I want you to do it. Where's in between challenging and not too hard? I want you to find 10 people to talk to. We're going to assume we're playing numbers games here. We're going to assume a 50% conversion rate, meaning 5 of them are going to say yes. And maybe we can get those 5 yeses to do it 3 more times. So then it's 15. We're almost to 16.
Cool.
So 3 action steps. How does that feel? Can you do it?
I think it's doable. A bit challenging, as you said, but nothing that I think is completely out of a ballpark of it.
Yeah. So I've got one last homework for you. Because I think this is the really missing piece. Because I just gave you a strategy and you could or could not go do it. Like,
right.
You know the steps. The real challenge is going to be, you said, who am I? Am I good enough? I'm self-taught. Some people don't like my work. Getting past that to, this is my goal and I want to hit it. And even if I fall way short, I'm aiming big here. I'm still going to be really proud of myself at the end. So what is your motivation? I asked you a little bit about that, but it's kind of surface level. I want you to go deeper. Why do I want to quit my job and be an artist full time? How does that really enhance my life, my family's life, other artists, other people who maybe not be creative, but take these workshops? Like, what's going to be motivating enough for you to get outside of that fear space and do it anyway?
I feel like, as you said, like I gave a surface answer, because sometimes the real answer is deeper than that, obviously, right? And be personal. And I have no problem sharing, but I lost my mom at the end of last year, and it changes you, or it changed me. It changed my priorities. It changed what I thought was important in life. And my people are what's important. I create for them, for me. And at the end of the day, I just want to be with them as much as I can and not take that, you know, time for granted. And when I get to do something that I thoroughly enjoy so that I can also spend time with them, I honestly can't think of anything better than that. So, you know,
I felt that.
Yeah. I mean,
I
and
believed
I don't,
you.
Losing her was the first big loss in my life. And I'm lucky that I'm in my 40s and can say that. Not everybody can, but it was a big one, and it really did. It's life changing, and you can't take things for granted anymore. And even the little things can end up being big when you don't have them anymore. So, like, related but unrelated, I always talk about how I used to drink coffee with my mom in the morning, and it seemed such a simple thing when we were doing it. And you don't think about it until you don't have it anymore. And so to circle back to art also, she was my biggest fan. I showed her everything. I asked her what she thought about everything. And I always laughed because I could have probably shown her, like, I don't know, the worst thing you've ever seen, whatever that would be to somebody. And she would have still been like, oh, it's beautiful. I love it. And she would have meant it. And I miss that terribly. And she would be so disappointed if I gave it up because she's not here anymore. And that's another motivating factor that I kind of want to do it, you know, in honor of her, but then also continue it because she's not here anymore, and do it for the other people that are still with me.
Can you go write all that down?
Yeah.
Because no matter what you are facing, if you read that, you're going to go, I don't care. I'm doing it anyway.
Yeah. You're right.
Her. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's funny when you say things out loud, how it can kind of change you and you can really think about something, because at the end of the day, you're right. Strangers that say things to me are not going to change my motivation when it comes to something as big as what I just said.
No. I say this in the kindest way possible, but screw them.
Yeah.
And no matter what you do, this was a huge fear of success for me and probably still has some little foothold, but people saying mean things to me about what I'm doing, I really kept myself under a rock as much as I possibly could while tricking myself into believing that I was working hard to reach my goals. But really, I was very scared of that happening. And so I, for a very long time, didn't go full speed, like maybe 20%. And I was working, but I was keeping myself safe in the safe zones, not really making any progress.
Right.
Okay.
It's that time, right?
It is. And you can do it. I mean, the amount of outpouring of love, of motivation, of I don't even know what the words are that I'm looking for, but that you just shared, you can do anything. And you have a strategy. You can follow it or not follow it, but you have a strategy and you saw how we thought through it to make it a possibility.
Mm-hmm.
Denise, tell people where to find you. I'm assuming Instagram.
Yes, I am at _DLaferArt_. That's DLaferArt. And yeah, just Instagram is the best way to find my current work.
Perfect. And what if they could do one thing when they got there, what would you tell them to do?
Just take a look. Don't just stop at one thing, because I just feel like there's something for everybody. And I just, you know.
Spend some time. Look around.
Spend some time with what I've created. And I would greatly appreciate that.
Beautiful. Okay. Thank you, Denise. It was fun. I enjoyed it.
Hopefully I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you haven't yet, be sure to hit subscribe so that you can get new episodes loaded straight onto your phone as soon as they're ready. And as an added bonus, when you subscribe, it helps other artists find this advice so we can learn how to make our art more valuable as a community. What could be better than that? And be sure to say hello and let me know you've been listening over on Instagram. My handle is @artistmarketco. I would love to hear from you.